Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AeroTech Corporation second quarter 2019 earnings results conference call. All lines have been placed in listen-only mode, and there will be a question and answer session after the presentation. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star zero and an operator will assist you. At this time, it's my pleasure to turn the floor over to Mr. Yaakov Haroz. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Tom. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's second quarter 2019 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Crotty, our Chief Executive Officer, and Kelly Keller, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Kelly, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will, in fact, occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech CEO, Dean Crotty. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. For the second quarter of 2019, we reported $23.3 million in revenue and $1.8 million in adjusted EBITDA. Our training and simulation division reported $15.4 million in second quarter revenue, while our power systems division reported $7.9 million of revenue last quarter. Our second quarter 2019 results show our performance improving over the first quarter as we build toward what we believe will be a stronger second half of 2019. Our training and simulation division continues to see strength from its commercial vehicle segment as demand for our simulators remains strong, highlighted by the purchase of both bus and police simulators by the City of Detroit in the second quarter. In addition to closing new sales, this segment is successfully delivering on our robust first quarter sales to include the on-time delivery of the 12 police systems sold to the U.S. Department of State and delivered to Mexico. Within our military vehicle simulation segment, the Virtual Clearance Training Suites team is progressing as expected on the Phase 2 design work and was rewarded with an additional requirement to add the Army's new multifunction video display, or MVD, into the VCTS crew stations. The added work came through an engineering change proposal to the Phase 2 requirements, valued at $1.8 million. Also within this simulation segment, our combat convoy simulation team received an intent to award notice for several contract line item options on an existing contract worth $2.3 million. The U.S. Marine Corps Systems Command intends to exercise the options that will allow the two CCS trainers operated by the U.S. Navy to receive the same overhaul we are currently developing for the Marines. Also within the simulation division, our air warfare group expanded its order log with two separate awards that are each valued at over $6 million once fully funded. These awards will build upon our long history supporting the warfighter with accurate weapon employment information. Within our power systems division, we have agreed to part ways with the president of our UEC electronics subsidiary in South Carolina and have begun an external search for his replacement. We have some significant opportunities ahead of us at UEC, and we will be prioritizing candidates that can help us realize their potential. Our opportunity to significantly increase revenues through our Cyber Mission Solutions IDIQ contract continues to move along slowly at the Naval Information Warfare Center, but a first task order is being competed currently with an award expected in the third quarter of the calendar year. This initial opportunity is for the procurement and installation of security systems at U.S. naval facilities and is valued at tens of millions of dollars per year. Our power division subsidiary in Israel, Epsilon Electric Fuel, has continued to work at expanding its commercial and international presence as we seek to diversify our customer base. Our 6T battery development continues to be promising and gather additional military customers, but has also made a breakthrough with a commercial customer as the Global Sports League, SailGP, purchased our 6T batteries to provide the battery power required by the cutting-edge catamaran sailboats that it races. Our international marketing efforts have led to significant proposals to Thales in France for batteries, adapters, and chargers, and to Leonardo in Italy to provide batteries and chargers for communications devices and imaging systems. We are hopeful that our penetration into these new markets will lead to customer relationships and a customer base that augments our traditional markets within Israel. Our sales of tactical batteries in Israel have been greatly diminished since January of 2018 after many years of robust sales, but we now expect to see a request for proposal from the Israeli Ministry of Defense in the third quarter, signaling a revival of this important business area. Finally, our relationship with Novocure, the medical products company with a novel cancer treating solution, continues to become more meaningful as their successful expansion continues. Novocure is expecting significant growth as their product gains acceptance and they are awarded approvals to treat more types of cancers. We are working with them to be sure our ability to meet their battery requirements keeps pace with their growth. Based on our visibility after the first quarter, we have maintained our 2019 full-year revenue guidance to include revenues of $95 to $105 million, but narrow our earning guidance to the lower end of our previous estimate and now expect EBITDA in the range of $7 to $7.5 million. With that, I'd like to now turn the call over to Kelly.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning, everyone. I will now discuss our second quarter financial results. Revenues for the second quarter of 2019 were $23.3 million compared to $21.9 million for the corresponding period in 2018. This is an increase of $1.4 million or 6.4%. This year-over-year increase was primarily due to higher revenues in our training and simulation division, driven by larger military contracts. We had increased sales in our power division, primarily related to higher battery and charger sales in our Israeli subsidiary, which was partially offset by lower sales in our U.S. power subsidiary related to the termination of the amphibious assault vehicle program by its customer SAIC as a result of the United States Marine Corps' termination for convenience. Gross profit for the second quarter of 2019 was $7.6 million, or 32.8% of revenues, compared to $6.6 million, or 30.2% of revenues, for the same period in 2018. The year-over-year increase was primarily due to higher revenues and improved margins in our power system division related to programs that ended in 2018 that had lower margins. And we had also had improved product mix in 2019. Operating income for the second quarter of 2019 was $929,000 compared to operating income of $562,000 for the same period in 2018. Operating expenses were $6.7 million or 28.8% of revenue in the second quarter of 2019 compared to operating expenses of $6 million or 27.6% of revenues for the same period in 2018. Operating expenses were slightly higher year over year, primarily related to higher sales and marketing costs related to business development in the company's power system division and costs incurred related to an implementation of our corporate enterprise resource planning system during 2019. Total other expenses, which is comprised mostly of interest expense and foreign currency transactions, was $381,000 in the second quarter of 2019 compared to total other expenses of $302,000 for the same period in 2018. The company's net income for the second quarter of 2019 was $392,000 or 1 cent per basic and diluted share compared to net income of $83,000 or 0 earnings per share for diluted and basic for the same period in 2018. Our adjusted net income per share for the second quarter of 2019 was 3 cents compared to 3 cents for the prior year, and our adjusted earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, adjusted EBITDA, for the second quarter of 2019 was approximately $1.8 million compared to $1.5 million for the same period of 2018. We believe that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net income per share enhances overall understanding of our current financial performance. We compute adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net income per share, which are non-GAAP financial measures. Both of these calculations, as well as the reconciliations to the GAAP measurements, are reflected in the tables of yesterday's press release. Now, I will turn to the balance sheet. As of June 30th, 2019, we had $3.9 million in cash and cash equivalents compared to the prior year, 2018, when we had $4.4 million in cash and cash equivalents. As of June 30th, 2019, we had total debt of $19.7 million, consisting of $12 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $7.7 million in long-term loans. This is in comparison to December 31st, 2018, when we had total debt of $14.1 million, consisting of $5.5 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $8.6 million in long-term loans. The primary reason for the increase in our short-term bank debt are the funding of certain long-term contracts where milestone payments were not available in our training and simulation division, along with the termination of the AAV program in our power division, which has not been fully settled. As of June 30, 2019, we had $5.9 million in available unused bank line of credit with our primary bank under our $15 million revolving credit facility, and we had $3 million in available unused bank line of credit under our $6 million Revolver B agreement with JP Morgan Chase. We had a current ratio, which is current assets divided by current liabilities, of 1.7 compared with December 31st, 2018, current ratio of 2. At the end of the second quarter of 2019, AeroTech had a backlog of $70.3 million versus $64.8 million at the end of the fourth quarter of 2018. The simulation division had a backlog of $49.2 million at the end of second quarter 2019 versus $47.3 million at the end of the fourth quarter of 2018. And our power system division had a backlog of $21.1 million at the end of second quarter 2019 versus $17.5 million at the end of the fourth quarter of 2018. This concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open the call up for Q&A, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and I are regularly available to the investment community, and throughout the year, we look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open the call up for questions.
Thank you, ma'am. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, you can do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for your questions. We'll take our first question from Mike Crawford with B. Riley.
Thank you. Dean, what prompted the change in South Carolina?
Well, as you know, Mike, we've been having performance issues, meeting our targets down in South Carolina, bringing our power division's revenues and earnings not in line with our own expectations. And we decided just that we needed a change in order to get, you know, things moving and get a fresh look. You're well aware, I know, of the very significant opportunities that we have in South Carolina, and we want to make sure that we get someone in who can help us realize those opportunities.
Okay, thanks. And in that regard, what is the kind of trajectory you see for the marine electric hybrid power system ramp?
All right, so last quarter we talked about the Marines had come out with an RFI where they asked some questions about the industry's abilities, but they also confirmed their intended production contract size with over 400 systems. We still expect, talking to the Marines, that they will come out this quarter with a request for proposals for that production effort. And our best guess right now is that spring or early summer for an award based on our discussions with the Marine Corps.
Okay, thank you. And then Can you just repeat or expand upon what you talked about with regarding security systems at U.S. naval facilities and how many people you might be bidding against regarding that opportunity?
Right, so the Cyber Mission Solutions contract, which we used to refer to as Cyber Missions Kitting, but the customer has made a little bit of a change in the name, is a very large IDIQ, as you know, worth almost $1 billion, and competed amongst five businesses who won the right to compete for business on that contract. So we expect that likely all five will bid. You know, as you know, we have 18 subcontractor teammates on that contract. So our entire team now is working very hard to put us in the best position to win, but it will be a competition. And as we discussed last quarter, the Navy is very slow in getting opportunities presented on this contract. We're very happy to see the first one finally out, and there's commitment to get it awarded this quarter still, which is great. But we do see now the other opportunities behind that, which are also quite substantial in size, taking shape, and we believe there will now be a much steadier flow of opportunities on that IDIQ.
Okay, thanks. And then just one more. How would any additional cash settlement related to the AAV flow through your financials, including the income statement?
So, Mike, this is Kelly. So the way that currently on our balance sheet, and it's been disclosed in our financial statements, there was $4 million of receivables and unbilled sitting on our financial statements at the time that our contract was terminated for convenience. So what would happen is if the $2 million, you would see it in cash, it would be an offset to the accounts receivable area or unbilled area. And then upon final settlement, you would, if it was below the $4 million, you would recognize a loss. If it was above the $4 million, you would recognize a gain in your income statement at that time. Does that make sense?
Sure. So the, just to be clear, the remaining cash you expect to come in related to this is around that $4 million that's estimated on your balance sheet.
Well, the $4 million is existing receivables that we had. So this was for materials and labors incurred, right? We've incurred, as a result of the termination for convenience, we've had additional expenses related to this termination for convenience that's been flowing through our income statement. So, you know, we've requested from the government, basically, that we get reimbursed for some of these costs.
Okay. That's fine, instead of going into brutal detail on that. Finally, it's nice to see the plus-ups on the VCTS. It sounds like the phase two, though, is a little bit slower to ramp, so we still have some more kind of, I guess, expansion as you still work on phase one and then start to layer in more phase two on that one. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think both of VCTS and CCS, Mike, we expect to be ramping up in the second half as we prepare for deliveries on phase two of VCTS, and as well as begin, we don't actually deliver on CCS in the second half, but we begin building all of the stuff that will be delivered in the second half, so there'll be a lot more material flowing through our shop as we prepare for deliveries in next year.
Okay, thanks. And then final question is just on the Top Gun type of weapons employment software solutions you provide. Is that something that you see as actually these amounts talked about in your press release, is that seen as continued growth there or more kind of sustainment of the same?
Yeah, I think best looked at is continued slow growth and great stability. There's not going to be a huge pop from the new contracts, but it's years of stability.
All right. Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one on your touchtone telephone if you do have a question. Star one at this time, please. We'll pause just another moment. Mr. Credit, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to again thank everyone for calling in today, and that will conclude our call.